All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are dealing with Christ as the Creator, and that He is actually the creation over all authority that has been extended by God to men and angels otherwise. Here in Colossians 1:16, described as thrones or dominions, rulers or authority. And this recognizes that His omnipotence, the means by which He created, dominates all things, and hence describes and reflects upon His absolute sovereignty as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even over all authorities otherwise who may exist on this planet, who are established by God Himself. And we're at point 15, sub point C, point 6, page 34 of our notes, where we'll these describe each of the nuances of authority that are brought forth here. First, thrones, sub point 6 there, that equals a position of authority. It's used here as a metonymy, which means attributing something to symbolize for the thing itself, like describing a ring in terms of reflect upon a ring, describing a marriage or something of that nature. Here, thrones symbolizes the position of authority. Genesis 41:40 as an example here. Here, Pharaoh makes Joseph the ruler over Egypt, giving him authority over all things except for his position of authority, described here as the throne of Pharaoh. You shall be over my house, verse 40, according to your command all my people will do homage, pay obeisance, only in the throne, in his position of rule, I will be greater than you. Psalm 9:7. The Lord abides forever. Psalm 9:7. Recognizing His eternal life. He has established His throne for judgment. His position of rulership to oversee, critique, and pass judgment on all things. Seven, our next word, dominions. Kuriotes in the Greek. It equals the domain or jurisdiction, if you will, over which one has authority. The domain over which one has authority. We see it used in Jude 6, look just before Revelation, one chapter, hence Jude 6, which is the recollection of the demonic infiltration pre-flood, pre-diluvian, where certain of Satan's demons infiltrated the human race. Angels have the capability to manifest themselves physically, even though they are spiritual in terms of their makeup, and are actually able to procreate with human beings, and they took for themselves wives out of the human race, only the good-looking ones. Hey, I didn't make it up. And tried to begin wiping out the human race, or by creating a half-angelic alien human portfolio of people on this earth, which would then negate the person of Jesus Christ, who had to be true humanity in order to bring salvation to men. And here he reflects upon, Jude reflects upon these angels who did not, verse 6, keep their own domain. That's our term here, kuriotes. But abandoned their proper abode. Obviously, angels are celibate. They're all male. You cannot find, you can't show me any female angel in the Bible. You can't show me any baby angels in the Bible. Give up that nonsense. It's human viewpoint. They're all adult males. And they are to remain celibate. And the rebellion of these particular demons was to rebel against the law of nature as it was supposed to exist among the angelic corps. And hence they abandoned their proper domain. He has kept an eternal bonds in their darkness for the judgment of the great day. And that looks at the fact that for their infraction, when God came in and judged the world with water, which people may think he's trying to do that again, but he's not. He will not do that again. And on the next judgment, you'll wish it was water. It'll be fire. But either way, he took those particular demons, which was not all of the demonic corps, but certain ones, and he incarcerated them in a compartment in Sheol, Hades, known as Tartarus. They have been there since that day. Some 4,000 years now, close to it, or more. And these particular demons, in the day of judgment, looks during the period of the tribulation of the breaking of the seals of judgment, that these demons are going to be released temporarily on this planet to bring excruciating pain and discomfort upon the unbelievers on this planet for a period of time. It tells like a scorpion. Revelation brings this out. And I guarantee you they are some pissed off demons. And they want to do nothing more than bring pain upon the human race for the involvement and association that are between the humans and the angelic beings of God's creation. The only thing that they cannot do, that God will not permit, obviously all this is coming under God's permissive will, even though it fulfills His sovereign will, is he can't kill anybody. People wish they could die. The pain is going to be so bad. If you've ever had pain that severe that you just soon check yourself out and get out of this world, then you know what I'm talking about. But this is so severe, people wish they could, but God's not going to let people kill themselves. How's that one for putting that in your book? You can't commit suicide on this one. But anyway. So, domain, that's our term, denoting the jurisdiction, the boundaries, if you will, of which one has authority or rights. And then verse 8, the word is actually, same word is translated authority in that one. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't the only cities that were annihilated that became the area known as the Dead Sea, based on their homosexual vice. Don't learn from history, forget, since they are the same way as these indulging gross immorality. Homosexuality is abnormal sexual perversion, and it's called gross immorality, just as trying to cross pollinate, if you will, the species of angels and humans. We'd like to even make that like bestiality almost. That's how it is in God's eyes. You don't like it, take it up with God. It's gross immorality. And went after strange flesh. See, strange flesh. Just look at your anatomy. You can figure out how it's supposed to work. Oh, well, we could change that. Yeah, go for it. Are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. 8. Yet in the same manner, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. The domain of sexual rights is to be between the two opposite sexes. God did not give man or angels authority to engage in strange flesh. Jiminy Christmas. All right. Enough said. 8. Our next term, rulers. Arche in the Greek here. Rulers equals the individual identities and ranks of those having authority. Who they are and their, if you will, level of authority. Titus 3:1. Such as a governor, president, manager, whatever. So these are the different nuances of these terms that we're bringing out here. Right, remind them to be subject to Titus, a pastor teacher, as Timothy was, under Paul's authority. Under his tutelage, if you will. Them is those allotted to his charge as a pastor. To be subject to rulers, the individuals in their exercise of authority, what position or rank they may hold. To authorities, and rulers are differentiated from authorities. To be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to apply doctrine to the situation, apply divine good production. Compare 1 Chronicles 29:6. Then the rulers of the father's household, those given position of authority, and then the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands, see differentiation between the levels and ranks of authority, and of hundreds and overseers of the king's work, servants who themselves held positions of authority, offered willingly, etc. Psalm 22:28. Again, just to give you an idea of these words. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules. He's a ruler over the nations. As a king. And then our final word, authorities. Exousia in the Greek. Equals those with the power to exercise authority. Power has been extended to them, whether it's by brute force or through law etc. And again, Romans 13:1, we read that earlier, as we are to be obedient to our civil authorities and otherwise. And rather than moan and groan and complain about them, pray for them. If they're disobedient, abusive authorities, for God to open their eyes, intercede, you know, whatever you have to do. Most of all, to orient, recognizing that without them, you think there's chaos in this, in our land now, in major cities, and there is. It'll be one of those apocalyptic type movie scenarios otherwise. 10, all categories now here, whether they're thrones, dominion, rulers, or authorities, all categories are applicable to both human and angelic realms of existence. The angels also have a hierarchy of authority. Compare 2 Chronicles 26, chapter 20, verse 6. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Another verse documenting that nothing will thwart the plan of God. Haggai 2:21. One of the minor prophets. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. He's a governor, human, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. Daniel 10, 12 and 13. Go back to Daniel. Here the angel, Gabriel, messenger angel, is operating on behalf of Daniel in regards to his visions. And he was delayed for some time. Just a quick background here. Then he said to me, verse 12, do not be afraid. Don't get under sin fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. God heard Daniel's prayers. He wanted to understand these visions, to be able to exegete them, understand them, interpret them. And Gabriel's going to give him insight to help him do this. Then he's explaining his delay then in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And behold, Michael is an archangel, elect angels, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I've been left there with the kings of Persia. And that recognizes both elect angels and demonic angels being behind the scenes, operating behind the scenes of human history. See, there is a conflict. There is an alien conflict going on right now. So, anyway, Ephesians 3, 10 and 12. So you see the different levels. Archangel would be one of the highest authorities, like the generals, if you will. Princes, called a prince, recognizing rank. Ephesians 3, 10 and 12. and in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, literally. Angels are very interested in regards to the Word of God. Angels are interested in regards to the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine. They continue to learn, just as we continue to learn. They learn doctrine, and they can learn from sound communicators in history. To have angelic visitors in our Bible classes, probably, hopefully, and they are more than welcome. They are here consistently to hear the truth of doctrine. They love wisdom as much as the Bible tells us to love wisdom. See, the elect angels. They have a lot invested here. Their investment, obviously, we do too. But understand, theirs arises from history past in regards to their existence. And they learn doctrine. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confidence through faith in Him. Now, verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in Him. Obviously, when Paul and the church age came around, I guarantee you they were in tune because they're learning about the church age. It's not like angels are omniscient. They are not omniscient. They don't know all things. They continue to learn. Anyway, 1 Peter 3:21. Should be 22. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to Him. So angels, authorities, and power are associated with the angelic war. And then as we saw, Jude 6 and 8. The domain, the jurisdiction, the right to operate and function. Attributed to the demons there. All right, 16. The final clause now of verse 16 succinctly states the purpose for the Son's creating. Quote, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Here's where that preposition translated by, in, at the beginning of the verse, by Him all things were created, pointing to His omnipotence, changes to dia in the Greek, through Him, denoting agency. It ties 17, the verb, quote, have been created, ketizo, ends the sentence in the Greek. In the English, they put it before, through Him and for Him. But it's at the very end, it's all things through Him and for Him have been created. That's literal Greek. Ends the sentence having here the perfect tense and passive voice. Perfect tense in the Greek denotes action in the past with existing results. With existing ongoing results. The passive again denotes an outside agent involved. So 18, it ties together His act of creating for the purpose of having existing results, or, if you will, preservation, to preserve, to create with preservation, to continue on in existence, see, is the idea. He flexed His omnipotence to create, and He did it with the power to preserve it, to preserve it. And keep it alive, functioning, in existence, etc. So 19, in other words, the purpose of His inheriting creation in His kingdom, bringing all these principles that are placed in these verses here, of His inheriting creation was to have eternal existing results. the purpose of his inheriting creation, the kingdom, and to rule, was to have eternal existing results. The New American Standard, quote, by him, end quote, as we've noted, is changed in the Greek to the prepositional phrase, quote, through him, end quote. It's dia autos, D-I-A-A-U-T-O-S, indicating agency. 21, Paul changes the emphasis of his creation from the means of his sovereign power, beginning the verse, to focus directly now on his person as the second member of the Godhead, the beloved Son, who is the agent of creation. So again, point 21, Paul changes the emphasis of his creation from the means of his sovereign power to focus directly now on his person as the second member of the Godhead, the beloved Son. 22, the phrase mirrors now John 1:3, which is exactly in the Greek, dia autos, the word that was created through him, the word that became flesh. 23, while all members of the Godhead share equally in essence and attributes, and thus contribute to creation, it is specifically God the Son that is accredited with flexing omnipotence to create. 3 personalities that all share equally the same essence and attributes. That's our God. Described simply as a singular God, because they're in perfect harmony with one another, and all that is done in regards to the Godhead. So while all members of the Godhead share equally in essence and attributes, and thus contribute to creation, well, you saw God the Holy Spirit defrosting the ice ball in Genesis. It is specifically God the Son that is accredited with flexing omnipotence to create. So 24 restated, creation was dependent upon the Son's sovereign willingness to create in harmony with and obedience to God the Father. And this language bears in my thinking that you understanding the Godhead, that while they all share in sovereignty, each personality possesses its own, if you will, divine will in personality. The Son willed, God the Son willed to be in harmony with the will of the Father as well as God the Holy Spirit. So those are just kind of technical things in regards to the Godhead, but it helps you further define God, noting that all three members of Godhead possess their own independent will, but that will is perfectly bound together. That's about as good as I can do it in human terms. 25, Christ incarnate explained this principle of obedience in John 5:19. The Father says, I'm going to create this plan. I want to create this plan. Here's the architectural blueprint for the plan. The Son says, okay, and I want you to do it. God the Son. And the Son says, okay, Father, I will execute and flex my omnipotence and do this very thing. So that's the idea being presented here. And Christ reflects upon this in John 5:19. Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. That's true of his whole person, the hypostatic union. We just went through all this when we reviewed the doctrine. It's humanity and deity both. For whatever the Father does, that these things the Son also does in like manner. So what we're doing here is we're moving to another of his attributes, or expounded more upon his attribute of sovereignty. So Paul, point 26, now specifically reflects upon the attribute of sovereignty of the Son as it fixed to his omnipotence. The sovereignty that was implied in his authority of creating thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. 27, God the Son, self-determined to execute the Father's plan for creation. All right, well, this is our Sunday to observe the Lord's table. So I'm not going to get at any better stopping point, it doesn't look like here. So let's put up our notes here and let everyone get in their position.